just a little while. I hardly got to know the kids around there.
So in other words, you started at Roosevelt when there just briefly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't recall if you were immediately pushed ahead at Roosevelt or not.
I don't remember. I was there such a short time that I know when I went over there. But I found it very hard. I could do the work, but I found it very hard to communicate with the older girls. And I wasn't allowed to do the things. I knew I had to go home. I was already in that area to go home after school.
Mm.
And I don't recall why Rose didn't go to school there with me or whether she went out to work or what happened. But I was going alone to school there.
Oh, so you were more on your own at that point.
Yes, yes.
And then you moved to Third and Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it sounds like you had a large piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
And was there a house there?
No, there was a house there. It was already there. And we lived there till I graduated. And in that summer, that's when he died.
Now, when you moved over there, then you went to Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the older sisters were in school anymore.
I don't think so.
And your brothers went to?
Grammar school, and only Joe, he was the oldest of the boys, he went to Hollywood High.
Now, why did you not want to be in the same school?
I think that he was a very good athlete, and I think the athletic possibilities in Hollywood High were better for him.
I see.
In fact, he got a scholarship for Occidental College from there.
Now, he had not been in private school with you.
No,
though, so
Leo was the only one.
Tell me then what it was like at Fairfax. You were then pushed from the ninth grade to the
latter part of the ninth. I graduated in the ninth grade. I would say the 10th to the 11th. I skipped the 10th.
So you were at least a year younger than all the other students there.
Yeah, it was.
What was it like moving? I mean, this is a totally new neighborhood.
Totally new.
An older group of girls. What was all that like for you?
Well, the fact that we had so much to do around the house, I think the only time I noticed it was when I was in school. Because kids there had a little more liberty than what we were accustomed to. They went to parties more often. And they had more liberty at school to stay after school, join GAA and all those things. And I couldn't do it because I had to go home after school. I had to go home and do my chores at home and do my homework at home. There was always something to do in the house. Always.
How did that affect your relationships with the other youngsters in the school?
I think I just took it all in stride. I don't think... See, it was only 2 years that I was there, scant 2 years, and the kids' lives, it goes by so fast.
Who became your friends then during that period?
I don't even remember. So obviously I must not have had a very close friendship with any of them. Because I don't even remember having any close friendships.
So it sounds like you would just basically go to school, take care of schoolwork, come home.
Come home. And that was my life at home. Because I don't recall having a close friendship. And the funniest part was that my husband went to school there for a little while when I was in school there. And I didn't meet him till 29 years later.
Now, well, by that time, were you still thinking about being a nun?
No, that had gone.
Did you have any fantasies or ideas about what you wanted to do?
Well, I always wanted to be a beauty operator. I loved makeup. I loved to dress up and fix up things, you know. I used to set my sister's hair and fix their hair. So I had that in back of my mind for a long time, though I didn't pursue it till way afterward, but I think I had that in back of my mind because I recall at night setting their hair or fixing their hair. We used to roll it up with rags, you know, and make long curls and do all that sort of stuff. So maybe that was in back of my mind.
How would you dress for school in high school? Do you recall?
I guess just like any of the other kids. I don't think there was that much of a restriction on us as far as that was concerned. The clothes were bought and we probably approved of them, didn't squawk about them or something.
How about makeup? Because you said you liked makeup.
I don't think we wore much makeup, not for school. I don't think it was used that
No.
much in school. I don't think anybody used that much. We were allowed to wear lipstick quite a long time, you know, little lipstick powder. But eye makeup and eyebrows, I never did.
Now, it sounds like this was like right in the early part, or in some sense, the height of the Depression, that your family is really moving up, moving to, has this big piece of land, etc. Mm-hmm. The Depression didn't seem to have any effect on
that. No, that's why I say we had to cut corners. I'm not saying we were money crazy or anything like that, but the fact that he had a steady job, and he got paid twice a month, and groceries and bills were paid first, and I guess what was left over was very little, not enough to raise too much about, but never had to worry about it.
And to that point, to your knowledge, he was working, he was now beginning to do the surveying.
Yes.
Now, would you walk to down to Fairfax Hall?
Yes, yes, it was walking distance.
What was the composition of the student body? Was it still largely Jewish in those days?
Mostly Jewish, yes. Yes, the neighborhood. So I guess maybe that's why, being used to living in that Jewish neighborhood, it didn't seem much different to me to be with the other kids over there. I've always been comfortable with the Jewish crowd, being that I was raised with them. You know?
But you still maintained an identity in terms of Mexican and Spanish descent.
And going to church. We still kept our religion. My folks were still very, always were very religious.
Once you moved, what church did you go to?
We used to drive, I think it's called Santa Monica, I don't even remember. It's right on Santa Monica Boulevard. Great big
door.
It's on Santa Monica Boulevard, but I don't remember right now the name of it. Is it St. Monica's, or is it Blessed?
It's Santa Monica itself, though, is it?
No, it's on Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood.
Oh.
It's right on Santa Monica Boulevard. It's a great big white church there, and it's got grounds going all the way down. In fact, I recall that when the kids would misbehave, you know, my mom would take them out there on the grass and give them good talking to them. They'd walk in real meek and quiet into church.
Was church as important in your life during those, say, later high school years as it had been earlier?
Yeah, that was our, it was always there. There was no changing. We always went to church. The religious aspect, whatever it was that we practiced, it was always the same. There was never a change. So I think that that was like a holding thing for the family, I think.
Did you, you mentioned this youth group at the other church for older children.
No, we didn't. I think the main thing was that it was so hard and so far away. There was no Catholic church right near us. It would have been very hard for my dad to drive us over there. And Nancy and Grace were married, so it was just Rose from Rose down that moved over there. And it must have been very hard for him to even encourage anything like that.
Now, did you date at all in high school? So you talked about still having to go places with your sister.
No, I don't recall having any dates there. I recall friends, but I don't recall having any boyfriends. Probably walking, maybe school, but not going dating. I don't think so. At that age, I don't recall having any, say that I went on a date with a boy.
But a group of friends would do something, including boys and girls?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. There was a lot of that. But like I said, I could never stay after school, which was the main thing. I took archery. There was a lot of meets after school. I felt I was good, or maybe the teachers felt I was good, whatever, yet I couldn't stay after school. I had to go home. I had to be home by a certain time. And being that I was coming and going by myself, I guess it was all the more reason that they had to be that strict with us.
Now, how about parties as a teenager in high school? Do you recall going to
parties? I don't recall. I don't recall much of that. I think about the only parties we went to was when we'd come to our relatives' parties.
I see.
We were such a large family that there was always some sort of thing going on with the family. And I think that was our main activity, was with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family would come over here and visit the Calderons, and they'd be having a birthday party or whatever. In fact, years went by, and I still was the maid of honor to one of the girls from then.
Hmm.
So the friendship
yeah.
was still there, and same with the cousins, you know.
Now, what about the camping and activities like that? As you, when you were in high school, would the family still do those things together?
Those were done primarily in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The summer when we were out of school. And in fact, later on, I recall when I was about, oh, I guess a senior or so, Dad several summers rented a house in Santa Monica. And we'd go down there. Mom, I didn't realize it at all that time, but I guess Mom was going through the change, you know, mm. and she needed probably the tranquility because she liked the ocean and all that, and he'd rent the house out there. And he'd drive on, stay in this house
mm-hmm.
all week, then in the weekend go and stay with us over there.
Oh, and so it would be your mother and you and the boys then?
And the boys.
Be there during the week.
During the week. And I recall going out there and getting as black as anything in the sun. And my grandma, we'd come back in time, my grandma would be so mad. Go in the water, but stay under the umbrella. You, all I see is your teeth and your eyes.
What did it mean to her? Why did she?
Well, I guess because she was so fair and she had light eyes, and she knew my brother Leo had green eyes. My sister Grace had green eyes. They were fair. They had red hair. Why do this younger girls, why do they want to get so dark? Don't they want to look like their other brothers and sisters? Yeah.
Was it, again, that distinction of being Spanish versus being Mexican?
I think so. I think so. Deep down, it was it. And in our own family, we're dark,
mm-hmm.
with dark eyes, yet my sister Grace had red hair and green eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the most beautiful, clear green eyes. And my brother Leo, too.
It sounds like they're much more Spanish in appearance.
Well, I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess so, you'd say that way. Though you do see a lot of dark Spanish
mm-hmm.
people,
right.
you know, Moorish background yeah. or whatever, you know.
Because I know, especially in New Mexico, that seems to be quite a distinction.
Yeah.
In terms of if you were of Spanish descent or Mexican descent.
And we were
light or dark.
That's what I tell my boys. We were called Manitas. We weren't called Mexican over there because we weren't real Mexicans.
Now, what is the word?
Manitas. That's what they call that in those years.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still use it now. Those years, those were people that weren't Mexican. Oh, they're Manitas. Little hands.
Oh.
Manitas, little hands.
How interesting.
Why that name was used or where it originated, I don't know. But I know that we were looked down, in other words.
Rather than up.
Ah, right. Because we weren't, by the Mexicans, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We were looked down.
But did the Manitas in turn look down on the Mexicans?
Right,
because they were not
right, Spanish. Right. And we were in between there, see. We weren't really Mexican, we weren't
yeah.
really Spanish. That was the beginning of the interracial communication. But I told my boy, I recall being in clubs, even in the church there. I recall some people that were so proud because their parents were born in Mexico and they're just manitas. You know? It bothered me for a
yeah.
while. Then afterward, I took it all in stride. It didn't bother me. They said, what are you, a Mexican?
Now, when in Los Angeles, you still felt that distinction then?
In the clubs,
mm-hmm.
in the church, in the clubs, they did make the distinction.
Hmm.
They did do it. Because primarily in Placid Church, in those years, there was a lot of, they were from Mexico and they were proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were mixed up, in other words, you know. But it didn't bother me.
Hmm. Now, how about at Fairfax High School? Were there very many other Mexican or Spanish?
I don't think so. I don't really remember, but I don't think there was that many. It was a conglomeration mostly of the Jewish people there and some Italians and something else, but I don't recall seeing any Mexican or having saying that I had friends that were Mexican. I really don't.
Hmm. Now, as you were getting into, say, approaching graduation from high school, your three sisters were married.
Two were married.
And mm-hmm. Rose was working.
Working.
Mm-hmm. What was your thought then about what you were going to do when you graduated?
I had made up my mind to go to beauty school. Mm. And my mom pushed it for the fact that she wanted me to have a profession, seeing that I wasn't, inclined to be for any particular boy or thinking of getting married. I didn't want to get married. I had made up my mind from then that I wasn't going to get married because I saw Nancy and Grace that they were having it rough and I didn't want any kind of that stuff. I guess I built my views on that respect on marriage from my sisters.
What was it that you perceived as?
Well, they were married very young, 17, 18, and tied down. Nancy died when she was, I think, about 21 or so. And Gracie had a very bitter marriage. Her first marriage was very, very bad. And I didn't see anything, though my parents' family was nice, but I didn't see any hurry to get into mm-hmm. the headaches of that. And Rose wasn't in a hurry either, so I guess both of us had the same idea in a way.
Mm.
But she was working already, so...
What was she doing?
Hats. She was a milliner, mm-hmm. Not a full-fledged one, but she became later on, but she was working in the mm-hmm. hat
was
factory.
It in the factory?
Mm-hmm.
In downtown
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles?
Molding hats and all that mm. stuff. And I guess we both had the same idea, not to get tied down.
Was she dating?
I don't recall her dating. And I was going to call her the other day and talk to her about those years. Tell you the truth, I didn't think you were interested in that part, so I said, oh. In fact, when I started looking at my things, my husband says, what are you digging in there? They don't care about that. They want the war years.
Oh, they want everything. But what? Since you didn't make very many friends in high school, since you weren't able to have after high school activities, as you were graduating from high school then, who would you do things with?
I didn't go to my prom. Didn't go to my senior prom.
How did you feel about that?
At the time, I didn't care mm-hmm. that much. I knew I couldn't stay out till all hours, and I couldn't go to the preschool deal and all that, that I was so used to it. It wasn't something that was shoved on me morning, noon, and night. It was a way of life that I didn't make. Like missing the baseball games, we could hear them hollering, and or the football games. It didn't bother me that I couldn't go. I just took it for granted.
Now, how old were you when you graduated from high school? You were fairly
young. Yes, I was not quite 18. I became 18 in July.
And so you were going to go to beauty college.
Right? Beauty college.
Tell
I started.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I started going to college, and it was expensive even in those years, so I had to work. So Rosie heard of a friend of hers that was working in a yarn place, spinning yarn, and they needed workers. So I went to work there. And then I would go to school only on Saturdays, mm-hmm. one day a week. And then they told me they would have to drop me, that they couldn't carry me on one day a week, that I would have to put more than those hours. So in the summer, I quit the other job, and I concentrated on my school for beauty school. But I worked, I think it was almost, that's why I didn't become a beauty operator until I was almost 19. I think I was almost 20 when I became an operator.
Oh, I see. So you started in the yarn?
Yarn factory.
But you first went to beauty school.
Uh-huh.
And where was that? What was the name of that school? Do you recall?
It used to be on 7th and Hill. What was the name? It doesn't exist mm-hmm. anymore. That's why it wasn't one of these prominent ones that they have.
And how long a course would it have been had you been able to do it the way they wanted?
Well,
I
think it's 360 hours. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't remember very, very well. But I think that's how many hours you do. But you're supposed to go like a regular school. At
so
least 4 to 5 hours, yes. And I couldn't do it because I couldn't afford it.
Do you recall how much it cost?
If it was $300 or $400, something like that, for the whole course.
For a year?
Yes. And then, of course, you had to buy all your uniform and all your little extras. I recall even working part-time there in the thing, cleaning the place, putting the brushes away and all that, to help myself with the tuition and all that. But it got to the point where one day a week wasn't enough, because Saturday was their busiest day. They wanted all the students on the floor, and how could I do my study?
What were the classes like?
Well, you think you were becoming in those years a nurse or a doctor. That was how technical everything was. You had to learn all about the bones in the body, bones in the head, how the hair would grow, which were the finest, the tender points not to press on your customers around here. It was the hardest thing. I don't know how it is now. But it was very, very, very hard. In fact, I just, about 10 years ago, I gave my book away to a girl that was going to school and couldn't afford to buy one, and I gave her my book.
So you did all of that before you even dealt with how to do hair?
Right, right. For we had to learn facials, we had to learn hairstyling, we had to learn hot iron hair doing, and then they were just starting with the permanent... The spiral, those crocknel with all the things, and we had to learn marcelling with a hot iron. Oh, it was really, really a very intensive course, very, very thorough.
Now, from the very beginning, did you have to work in the yarn spinning?
Yes.
So you started beauty school, but from the very beginning, we're working
in the spinning yarn spinning,
and then going just down. Saturdays and during the summer.
And then they told me definitely, no, that they would have to drop me, that they couldn't do it because Saturday was their day to work on customers, and then I guess that was the way they made their money.
I see.
And the girls got the practice. Mm-hmm. So then I had to drop out of the other and go to school. But I know it was very hard. I don't remember whether I did babysitting after that because I recall doing babysitting. Mm. So maybe I did babysitting at night or something to help myself on that.
Well, tell me more about getting the job in the yarn spinning factory.
That was through a friend of my sister that was working there. And she said they needed help. And she told my sister, and I got in.
And what was your work exactly?
At first it was just supplying the girls with the spindles and with the things. Then they worked doing gradually to learning to run the machines. They were long machines that would wind the yarn. It would come in great big spindles, and it would come down to this small
little cones.
Yes, mm-hmm. Small cones. But first they'd break you in doing odd jobs, in mm-hmm. other words.
How large a place was it, to recall?
It was a good-sized place.
How many good. Workers would you think?
If I'd say 100, I might be wrong. Maybe there was 200. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was good-sized place.
What was the name of it, do you remember?
I could have tried to ask around my sisters. Maybe they would remember.
It was in downtown Los Angeles?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you, where mm-hmm. it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. It was such a short episode mm-hmm. in my life that, you know.
How do you recall how much you paid?
No.
This was your first paying job,
actually,
wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, outside of small babysitting jobs or helping this lady with her baby or something like that. This was
how it. Long did you work there then?
I don't think I worked very long because it bothered my going to school, you know, and I did want to get my certificate mm-hmm. or my operator's license. And I don't think I stayed on very long because they told me that that I couldn't do it, mm-hmm. that I couldn't go part-time, that I would have to go full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturdays would have to be spent on the floor.
Do you recall while you were, during the stretch that you were working then, you were working just the 5 days and would have Saturday off then?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Was there a union in that shop, you know?
I don't recall if there was. I doubt it. Maybe there was. Was there unions in those years?
Yeah, I don't know about the in the yarn factories, though, in Los Angeles, if there was.
I don't recall. I don't recall being involved with a union at all.
But your main goal was just to be able to work there to earn some money to really proceed
with the
beauty school.
Because you always had to buy this or buy that, your transportation plus your food, you know, your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little expensive.
Yeah. Now, who were your friends during this period? What kinds of activities would you do?
I don't think I had any particular. At that time, I had even lost sight of my girlfriend Molly till we got together later on in years.
Oh.
But even at that time, we had lost sight of each other till we found each other later on in years.
Oh. So you were mainly busy going to work, going to school?
Going to school, and when there was any activities with the family or with the friends or with the cousins or something, that was our outing. And he'd take us to the show once or twice a month. My dad.
Your dad?
Yes.
Now, when did your dad die?
He died when I was around 15, I think.
So he died while you were still in high school?
I was in high school, yes.
Life change?
It was very traumatic. Very, very, very bad. Because we were all living over there, away from everybody. And I was about to finish school. I think he died around May. And, I'm almost sure it was around there, because I know I was very close to graduation. And he had stomach trouble, and he always figured it was something I ate. And this Saturday we had come to visit Grandma to this house where she lived in the Boyle Heights. And all of a sudden he got this horrible pain on his stomach. And Mom called the doctor. The doctor said to rush him to the hospital. He burst the appendix. So they rushed him to the hospital. He was there for about 2 weeks, and that was it. In those years, I guess they didn't have the antibiotics they have now. It was 19.
How did this affect your mother?
Well, he told her to stay with her mother. I took her from you. I'm bringing her back to you. My mom always said that. That's what Dad said. So she stayed there till she could, get on her own 2 feet on herself. And then she sold that property.
So the whole family moved back
to the Boyle Heights area. And
what
she
did
bought,
you do back when high school?
I finished school. We stayed there. It was just a little bit for me to finish school.
Oh.
So there was no question about anything, I guess, probably. It was all went so fast. It was fast episode there. We were uprooting ourselves, coming back to the Boyle Heights area to be near Grandma. And she bought a house right on 4th Street. 4th and Mott, I think it is, right there near Evergreen Playground. She bought a house there. Then Grandma sold her house and moved right next door to her, bought a house next door. So we were right next door to each other.
I see.
So we stayed there till then. She bought another one right in front of Roosevelt High. And we moved into that one, a bigger place than this other one.